Welcome. Aside from the backing vocals, that is the sound of one man simultaneously beating and strumming one guitar and singing. And what you just heard is what it actually sounds like when this guy takes the stage. That, folks, is called Golden Rule. It is the latest single from my guest, Finland's very own Double Threat. He's a jaw-dropping virtuoso in solo fingerstyle guitar and a gifted bilingual singer-songwriter and also a very intelligent, very conscious, very loving guy. And I'm lucky enough to call him my friend. It's Petteri Sariola. And if you're a typical American and you can't roll your R's, he's usually cool with being called Pete. I'm pretty excited. Petteri hasn't released original music in a long time now, and his brand new album, Resolution, is going to be available on all digital platforms this week as of Friday, August 11th. Petteri and I got to catch up over Skype not too long ago, and we talked about a ton of stuff, a bit of which you are about to hear, along with some more music. If you find yourself wanting more, you can have it. You can get part two of this podcast and every other podcast I make, and every new song I release on my own, by supporting me for less than $1 a month. Visit patreon.com/SethHoran in the show notes and pledge a dollar. I've had this set up for over 2 years now, and I release music maybe 8 to 10 times a year. So for $8 to $10 spread out over a year, the price of 2 lattes, you can set it, forget it, and never again be frustrated that you can't hear my music. I can't think of a better deal that doesn't leave me destitute, and you're entirely welcome to it. Patreon.com/SethHoran. The link is in the show notes and on just about every web page I've ever associated with. Hop to it and join up and catch up on what you've been missing. For now, though, sit back, relax, and enjoy a few snippets from my long, enlightening, and entertaining conversation with the amazingly talented Petteri Sariola. Ladies and gentlemen, Petteri Sariola.
Hey!
What time is it there?
It's, I think, 9:30 now, approximately.
Okay, and when did you stop drinking?
I didn't.
Just jokes, folks.
Yeah.
So, first and foremost, you have a new record coming out all over the world very soon.
Right, yeah. So my record comes out on 11th of August.
August 11th, and the album is called
Resolution.
That's not funny. Oh, God. That's a good title.
There's a lot of meaning to it. It just sounded funny to say it with such a transformesque quality.
Is that a word?
I just made it up.
Transformesque. So tell us about the new record. How long has it been? It's been how long since Phases came out?
Yeah, Phases came out in 2009. And to kind of wrap our heads around what Resolution is about, we have to jump all the way back to my first record, Silence, which came out in 2009. Silence was 2007.
I was going to say, because we met in 2006 and Silence came out the next year.
Yes. Silence was 2007, Phases 2009, and now we are at Resolution in 2017. Now, Resolution completes a trilogy. These albums are essentially about the arch of life. So, Silence is the birth, Phases is the adulthood, and Resolution is the ending.
And considering you're 33, you're pretty much donezo.
Yeah, yeah.
Time to hang it up. No, okay, I'm sorry. So go back to, tell me more about this, the story arc that you're talking about.
Yeah. So these albums are connected. The theme connects all of them. There's also visual links. The back covers of the records, they form a puzzle. And then there's other visual details within the booklets, just in the theme. And I'm really happy how it came out. It took so long to make this last one because I just didn't feel like I could make music about this subject.
Okay. Now, you're an instrumental virtuoso and you're a singer-songwriter. Mm. And you do that all on the same record. And I realize that some people would consider it sacrilege, but there's very few people who've done it at the level you're doing it before. The first name that comes to mind is, of course, Michael Hedges.
Mm, right.
And so do you encounter people who have a hard time deciding what you are to them? Do you encounter people who only really acknowledge your instrumental music or only really acknowledge your vocal music?
Yeah, maybe sometimes, but not so much these days. The home base would be the instrumental stuff, sure. But the vocal stuff has been on the side now almost as long as the instrumental thing. So if somebody doesn't know that I can sing or somebody doesn't know that I can play, then I'm not gonna stress about it. They can just Google my name and they see both, and they can, I'm not gonna force my, you know, the story of my career to other people. It's like, I let them find out on their own time.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. You know, as we are humans, we have a very narrow way to see things usually, and that just because I'm profiled as an acoustic player doesn't mean that I wouldn't use electric guitar almost all the time, and at least either on my own records or play for other people. Yeah, exactly. And it's like completely ridiculous, like, oh, you play electric guitar as well. So just a point that we generalize things a lot, and that's
sure.
Just
well, this,
how humans work. So,
well, it's really, I think humans are a lot more open to a broad spectrum of possibilities, but I think that the music industry really likes to compartmentalize so that they can market.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
We're, as artists, we're always fighting marketing, and now you just entered into a new agreement with a new label. Isn't that right?
Yeah, like a label service, in fact.
Is that how they're going to distribute your music in all over the world?
Yeah.
You put up a picture on Instagram of you very happily shaking this guy's hand, and he looks very happy that you're there. And I just see art shaking the hand of commerce. And I'm wondering, are they both going to still be smiling? Like,
So far, so good.
Does he agree with your vision? Like, is he excited to have you, or is he as excited to do one particular thing?
No, he's excited to have me as a whole, as an artist, the whole package. Yes.
Because America needs you. But America, if you're listening to this, make it happen. We need to make it happen. We need to get this man back on American soil.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about some songs. San Francisco Drive, speaking of America, is San Francisco Drive a place in America? Or is there some place in Helsinki called San Francisco Drive?
No. To me, the song just has this kind of exploitation movie feel to it. Like the 70s, America.
Okay.
The movie Bullet, the French Connection, that kind of vibe.
So this this isn't about a street. This is about a San Francisco drive.
Yeah.
Now I'm on board. I'm so glad we're talking about this.
Yeah. I stumbled on the opening riff. I was actually touring in South Korea. I had just arrived, sat down in the hotel room, picked up my guitar, tried a new tuning. Or actually, my guitar was in a weird tuning I had been fiddling around with. But yeah, the riff just came about, and oh man, yes, yeah. The title of the song, I wanted to have something referring to these car chase movies, and San Francisco is the legendary place for these car chase movies.
So keep that in mind. Imagine your favorite blaxploitation car chase scene as we listen to San Francisco Drive by Petr Hisariola. So, tell me about Japan. You just, your record is already out in Japan, and you've been playing Japan for years and years, and from what I can see on the internet, you are kind of worshipped in Japan like a big, shiny, bald-headed god with a guitar in your hands. Like, yeah, you're like a beetle, over from what I can tell. And if you're not, just tell me you are, so that it sounds really good for the podcast.
Well, of course, but if I'm a beetle in there, I would be the bastard child of Ringo and George.
And so what, man? What's wrong with that? Okay, so Japan. When did you first go over there and? Who got you to Japan? Was it just on a whim you decided, I'm going to go play some shows? Or did somebody bring you?
The story goes like this, that there was a guy in a Japanese label called King Records. This guy, Susumu, the A&R, was scrolling through YouTube videos, I think Victor Wooten videos. And then he came across my song, Prime.
Yeah.
And that was in 2006, I think. He got really excited about it, got in contact. He actually came over to Finland to meet me and my label back then, and he came to see a show, was convinced, and
he came to Finland to see a show?
Yeah. And then he got me over to Japan, and I've been working with King Records ever since. that I'm really grateful and happy about. That I've been there, I've toured there, like, this was my tour number 10.
Wow.
Damn, 10 years in Japan. It's
beautiful. And it keeps getting bigger. It seems like the stuff I see, you're mobbed with people. And this is great, because everything I hear about Japan is, it seems to be like these are the last people in the world who still appreciate the whole experience of being a fan. Maybe this is an unfair thing to say, but it's just perception. Of course, not having been there, I'm subscribing to the mythology of the Japanese fan. It seems to be that they just want to meet you, get your picture taken with you, buy the t-shirt, buy the CD, have your handwritten lyrics posted on their wall. Like, Am I completely off base with this, or is this real?
No.
Yeah, don't be humble. This is on the internet.
It is like that. I mean, when you play a show, if you play a good show, I've played shows with 100, 200, 300 people. If it's a good show, if that night goes really well, like, almost every member of the crowd will come to get an autograph and have a picture taken. They buy some random merch, a CD, and they are really, it has a certain culture. That country has a certain culture about fan culture, you know?
Yeah. And I'm saying is that it seems to me that that culture they took from places like America. And now in places like America, it's dead. But Japan seems to be like the last stand for the fan culture. They've made it so much their own. You have more to compare it to. I mean, you play different countries in Europe. Is there anything even remotely close to that?
Oh, sure. German fans.
Oh, yeah?
They are lovely. Yeah, they come. I've seen many German fans fly from Germany to Finland to see me play.
What?
Yeah. And they drive hours. They have a beautiful fan culture as well.
So, aside from Finland, Germany and Japan, you would say, are your big places where people support you? So you tour each of those countries once a year-ish, maybe?
Japan, I tour within 2 years once or twice.
Okay.
Germany, I play at least once a year. Maybe on a busy year, I've gone there like 4 or 5 times even.
Oh, my goodness. And are the German fans, are they as about you as it seems to be that the Japanese fans are? I mean, do you have to make sure that you ship enough merchandise ahead of you when you go to Germany because you're gonna sell out, sort of thing? Or is it, no, we just listened to you on Spotify and I bought a ticket?
Oh, they still buy CDs.
See, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
No wonder. Now I understand why you aren't coming to America.
Ouch. I guess there's always a little truth said in jest. Our conversation was wide-ranging and got a lot more interesting from there. And if you want to hear that, as well as listen to the songs in their entirety, not just snippets, pledge $1 at patreon.com/SethHaran. That link is in the show notes. And you'll get all that and a lot more. Please check it out. I'm going to tie this up with one of the songs Petri did with me on the Klang and Chime album. I sent him a recording of me doing the solo bass and vocal arrangement of this song, and he sent me back this gorgeous, lush arrangement with layers of his guitars and vocals that just blew my mind. We're going to play out part one with a bit of Stronger Still. Thanks for listening, folks. Patrons, I'll see you after the jump.
Make me laugh, make me smile, just let me love you even stronger still. Emptiness, it grips you like you've never known. And how can I find any soothing words to say? Except to tell you, you will never truly be alone. Don't take back a single wish. Well, don't be scared about the future. The fear will kill you faster than the pain ever will. So hold on, my love, I'll make you laugh, make you smile. Hold on, my love, it only hurts a little while. Let me love you even stronger still, even stronger still.